Hey there, this is Erica Kelly. I didn't realize until I went to write this update, but Santoya Brown's case was my first episode of the year last year. I'm delighted that my first episode this year, though this will be short, is to announce that Santoya was granted clemency. Last year at this time, celebrities had already taken up her cause, and the petition to Governor Bill Haslam requesting clemency had over 400,000 signatures. If you aren't familiar with Santoya's case, I suggest going back to episode 9 for the details. But in short, Santoya Brown was sex trafficked, and at age 16, she shot one of the Johns she had been sold to. She had been abandoned as a baby and suffered from fetal alcohol syndrome, among many other problems in her young life. The pimp who trafficked her first got her hooked on cocaine and then raped her himself before he started pimping her out. When she met her victim, Johnny Allen, she had been high for 2 days and had no sleep. But detectives who brought her in and grilled her didn't care about that. Using legal but ethically questionable tactics while interrogating her, they did get a confession. I say ethically questionable because Santoya was a minor without representation or a legal guardian present. And for the record, Johnny Allen was a youth minister who often went trolling for underage prostitutes. His family and the original detective on the case have tried to paint him as some sort of saint. He picked up an underage prostitute. Even if you knew nothing else about him, he was definitely no saint. And that brings me to many problems with the first trial that I took issue with. Witnesses to Johnny Allen's predatory behavior, including a witness who accused him of rape, were blocked from testifying. And her own attorneys failed to put her psychiatrist on the stand. I noted in my episode on Santoya that given the information put before the jury, I probably would have voted to convict her too. But Santoya did well in prison and really turned her life around. She became a model prisoner and participated in the Lipscomb University's Life Program and will receive her bachelor's degree this May. She was the subject of a 2011 documentary called Me Facing Life, Santoya's Story. And in late 2017, musician Rihanna was the first celebrity to take up her cause, tweeting, "Imagine at the age of 16 being sex trafficked by a pimp named Cutthroat. After days of being repeatedly drugged and raped by different men, you were purchased by a 43-year-old child predator who took you to his home to use you for sex. You end up finding enough courage to fight back and shoot and kill him. You're arrested as a result, tried and convicted as an adult, and sentenced to life in prison." This is the story of Santoya Brown. She will be eligible for parole when she is 69 years old. After that, many celebrities became vocal supporters. And in May of last year, Santoya, with a team of pro bono attorneys, attended her first clemency hearing. Her attorneys argued that her life sentence was unconstitutional due to a 2012 opinion by the U.S. Supreme Court, which said that giving mandatory life sentences without parole for juvenile offenders was cruel and unusual. At the hearing, the appeals judges looked hard at the contradictions in Tennessee law. U.S. Circuit Judge Amal Thapar said, quote, "We're trying to guess what Tennessee is doing here. The way I read this statute is that she's got life without the possibility of parole." But the Tennessee Court of Criminal Appeals sided with the state, saying that Santoya's sentence was not entirely for life. The court explained in a statement that, quote, "Under state law, a life sentence is a determinate sentence of 60 years. However, the 60-year sentence can be reduced by up to 15% or 9 years by earning various sentence credits." But her attorneys say the Tennessee Court of Appeals issued a conflicting ruling. As they said, under Tennessee law, a life sentence is basically 60 years. The only reason that isn't her entire life is because she went to prison at such a young age, and also because of how her sentence can be automatically reduced by 15%, meaning she would serve only 51 years. U.S. Circuit Judge Julia Smith Gibbons commented that she couldn't believe a Tennessee court hadn't issued a definitive ruling on the appropriate reading of the sentencing law. And I agree. Just because she wouldn't die in prison doesn't mean the state didn't take her life. Another thing that really bothered me about this hearing was that the judges did not address the argument from Santoya's attorneys that she should not be held accountable for premeditated murder at 16 because her proven diagnosis of fetal alcohol syndrome had slowed her mental development. This piled on to what I already considered the grievous error at her trial. that her attorneys did not put her psychiatrist on the stand to testify of her history of abuse and mental illness. So naturally, early this past December, the Tennessee State Supreme Court ruled against clemency for Santoya, saying she must serve the 51 years. And we were all depressed about it. I remember posting and commenting often on social media that we still had the Sixth Circuit, and we also still had a chance with Governor Bill Haslam. When he granted clemency to a slew of prisoners right around Christmas, and she wasn't on the list, we all felt let down. But I saw at least one article that said the governor may not have wanted to overshadow the other prisoners by including her with them due to all the media attention Santoya receives. Well, it looks like they were right. 7 days into the new year, and our Tennessee governor did the right thing. Santoya won't be released until August, which is partly a standard for her transition, but one of her attorneys pointed out that August 7th is exactly 15 years since her conviction. That's the same time she would have received had she been convicted of second-degree murder. And she will be on parole for 10 years. Governor Haslam released a statement saying, quote, "This decision comes after careful consideration of what is a tragic and complex case. Santoya Brown committed, by her own admission, a horrific crime at the age of 16. Yet imposing a life sentence on a juvenile that would require her to serve at least 51 years before even being eligible for parole consideration is too harsh, especially in light of the extraordinary steps Ms. Brown has taken to rebuild her life. Transformation should be accompanied by hope." In a statement released by her lawyers, Santoya thanked Governor Haslam for his act of mercy and for giving her a second chance. She said, quote, "I will do everything I can to justify your faith in me. With God's help, I am committed to live the rest of my life helping others, especially young people. My hope is to help other young girls avoid ending up where I have been." I have every confidence that Santoya Brown will be true to her word. She is a remarkable young woman, and I am excited to see what the future holds for her. She is in an incredible position to be an advocate and activist, and I believe we will see her on the front lines fighting for young women and other victims of sex trafficking. And also for juvenile offenders. As one of her attorneys put it in today's press conference, these are children we're putting in prison. I hope Santoya's case is a catalyst for clarifying the laws in Tennessee, and also for change in our culture and how we treat juvenile offenders. That's all for now. I am releasing a regular episode this week, so we'll talk soon. Y'all take care.